So welcome everybody to today's meditation class. As usual, I always have to make the announcement that this is the ongoing class where people come most Saturdays to keep their meditation advancing. But for those people who come here for the first time, we have an introduction to meditation class, which is being held in the room to my right. And that class is there especially just to introduce people to the basics of meditation, just so that this class cannot be sort of too difficult for them. It's not just the teachings in this class is aimed at those people who have meditated before, but even the time when we meditate here for about 40, 45 minutes can be a bit difficult for those who haven't meditated at all before. Even if you sit down comfortably, just being able to sit down and make the mind comfortable and peaceful still is a difficult thing for 45 minutes. So here this is for the ongoing class. So having made that, as I have to do every week, for the meditation class, it's not just, you know, just teaching people when they first come to sit down here what to do. It's also what happens beforehand. So even trying to make a few little changes to my schedule. I just come in here just 5 or 10 minutes before the class starts, just so I can settle down, instead of just talking to people too much beforehand. Because you find that your mind, it is just like a car, it takes a while to slow down. If you know, you are driving one of these huge road trains you see in Australia, then you put the brakes on, it takes maybe a kilometer before you come to a halt. You've got so much momentum. And it's the same with a human being. Sort of if you come in here, you've been chatting and excited, and then when you first come in here, you're still sort of carry that momentum, that disturbance inside. So it's nice, even before you start to meditate, to have a period 5 or 10 minutes before where you just go a bit slower, more peaceful, more relaxed, so that you're prepared when you come in here to be able to relax some more. And it's also the reason, I was talking with one of my fellow monks yesterday, it's one of the reasons why we have a little 15-minute introduction before we start meditating, simply because the speech which I've given, whether you understand it or not, just does serve the purpose to calm people down, to get people in a peaceful state, so that they can, just by the time they shut their eyes, and usually begin at 3:15, by that time they're nice and peaceful. At least they're more peaceful than they were before. So anyway, for the meditation, just be able to calm the body and calm the mind down, to bring it to a rest slowly. Because when you force it, you find it doesn't come to a rest at all. The part of meditation is really learning how to be... Oh, the door's are locked. There's a door to the right over there. Aha. I don't know why they've all been locked today. But anyway, it's okay. It's okay. One door's enough. That's nice and peaceful. Anyway, just when we do start to meditate, it is learning how to be both mindful and to be kind. That combination of awareness and kindness is what makes the meditation work. And if one is neither got no mindfulness, no kindness, you always find it goes to a different place. So to be able to be mindful and to be kind, sometimes people, you know, have a difficulty understanding what awareness is. You'd think it'd be one of the most easiest of things to understand, but of course it's not. Okay, someone needs to be outside there. People are banging and swearing that way. Okay, away now. We haven't got the middle path open yet. The two side ones are open anyway. Excellent. Okay, anyway. So if at last people have settled down, then I can begin appropriately. Very good. That is open again, I think, isn't it? Sorry? Yeah, this one's open too, isn't it? No. Why? No, leave it open. So people can come in. Well, first open the first book which I wrote was Opening the Door of Your Heart. And if this isn't the heart of our Buddhist center here, we must always keep it open for the happiness and well-being. Some people come late. Sometimes it's just because, you know, there's all sorts of things happen before we actually get to this venue. And so, yeah, can you open that one as well? Because otherwise it's going to make more noise. Yeah, keep it all open. Okay, everything's open now. Great. Okay. Okay, let's start from the beginning again. When we want to control things and make them this way and that way, it always causes a lot of tension. But when one is kind to life, when one's kind to the moment, when one is even kind to the past and the future, you find that that is where things become nice and peaceful. So it's awareness and kindness, those two together, is what take the body and the mind into deep meditation. So kindness, it means opening the door of your heart and the doors to this meditation room. And just to let people come and let people go out, not controlling things. Of course, there will be noise every now and again, but that is part of life. People cough, people come in and come late. There's kids who sort of sometimes make a noise. But we have a choice there. If somebody coughs, the sound of the cough just disappears in a second or two. But the problem is when we start thinking about it afterwards. They shouldn't do this, they should do that, they should do something different. We should have different types of doors, electronic doors or revolving doors, or some other way to transport people in and out when it gets a bit too late or too early and they want to leave early, whatever. We can actually, the sound of the door was finished a long time ago. But it echoes in our mind because of negativity, a lack of kindness. And that leads you on to understanding just how we do let go of the past and let go of the future as well. You know, all of you probably know things like the mindfulness and the present moment, the power of now. And it sounds very easy just to be in the present moment, just to be here and let go of all the past and all the future. But it's a hard thing to do. And it's an important thing to do because most of our thinking, the wandering mind, is all about the past and the future, mostly. And so how do we let that go? If we just say let it go, if we try and keep it out, blot it out, it's just like trying to keep everyone coming at the right time into this meeting. And always come early or come late, you can't stop it. You can't just say, oh, well, can't we, you can't control things. So instead what we do is we just learn how to just be kind to this moment, to adapt to it, to embrace it. So in other words, we don't fight it, we let it be. And if we're kind to the past and if we're kind to the future, you find that the past and the future get softened and they can be very easily let go of. What do I mean by being kind to the past? It means that whatever happened in the past, whoever did what to whoever, you know, whom or what you did, we get this wonderful light, compassionate, seeing things in the most positive light, instead of looking to prosecute the person who did those things, or prosecute yourself. We never look at the past with the idea of a prosecutor in a court of law. We always look at the past with the eye of a defense attorney, always looking at the mitigating circumstances, always looking at excuses, something which we can forgive ourselves or forgive them. They weren't in a good mood that day, or maybe they misunderstood, or maybe we did not remember what happened properly. Whatever it is, we learn how to look at the past with compassion, with forgiveness, with seeing even if it's pushing the truth a little bit, just seeing it in a way which can just forgive and let go and see the positive side in the past experiences. When we look at it with compassion and kindness, then we actually find that we can let go of the past pretty easily. And it's the same with the future. We look at the future with a bit of kindness and positivity, and then it's just not so fearful, not so anxious about what might happen next. So just a little bit of kindness, care, compassion does actually free us from the past and the future. And that sort of compassion and kindness that gives us the freedom just to be here is also applied to this present moment when we're actually mindful, when we're actually here, we learn how just to be here. And when we're kind to this moment, we embrace it, we let it be with some kindness, you'll find it so easy to be with. It's just like sometimes with your family, with your loved ones. It's easy to spend time with them, with people who you care about. And those are the sort of people which we can spend hours with effortlessly because we're the best friends. We love one another. I often say that I mentioned it just briefly in passing at the end of my talk last night. The way to find solitude and be happy in your solitude is to realize that when you are alone, you can be, if you have the right attitude, you can be with one of your best friends, which is yourself. You're kind to yourself. You care for yourself. So in other words, when you're with yourself alone, you can feel this wonderful sense of being with a really, really good friend. And then you find it's just so easy just to relax with one another. You don't need to force it. The simile which I gave some time ago was the simile of getting a telephone call in the afternoon. And you get a person, so you answer the phone and said, "Hi, are you free this afternoon?" And you say, "Yeah, I'm free this afternoon." And they said, "Do you want to come for a cup of coffee?" And he said, "Okay." And he said, "We want to go to my coffee shop, not your favorite coffee shop, my favorite coffee shop. And I want you to take a latte. I know you don't like lattes, but I like lattes, so that's what you're going to have. We're going to sit in the back of the coffee shop, not the front where you like. We're going to have a chocolate chip muffin. I know you don't like that, but I like it, so that's what you're going to have. We're going to sit in the back and we're going to talk about politics, because that's really important. None of your spiritual mumbo-jumbo, but politics. And we're going to sit there and go 1 hour. And if somebody comes and tells you where you're going to go, what you're going to talk about, what you're going to eat, and for how long, would you like to spend time with such a control freak? So in this simile, the person said, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry, but I just remembered I've got to go to the dentist. Terribly sorry, maybe next time." And then you hang up, and then just to keep your precepts, you call your dentist and make an appointment as soon as possible. And as soon as you made the appointment, you get another telephone call from another friend. And the other friend just tells you, "Oh, are you free this afternoon?" "Oh, no, I just got this appointment with the dentist." "Oh, that's terribly sorry about that, because I know this coffee shop you keep telling me about is just really, just such delicious coffee. Just and the biscuits are just to die for. They're just so amazing. And I know you're always talking about meditation and Buddhism. You know, even though I don't believe in all of that stuff, I mean, it's really interesting. So I'd love, you know, to spend time so you can explain this thing to me." And when somebody wants to go to the place you want to go to, and, you know, drink and eat what you want to drink and eat, and want to talk about things which interest you, what would you do? You'd say, "Okay, I'll be there. I cancel my dentist appointment. See you in 10 minutes. And then you spend all afternoon there, simply because you're being with a good friend, someone who respects you, and talking about things which also interest you, which is one of the reasons why you can spend hours being with a good friend, which is one of the reasons you can spend a whole 45 minutes here with no problem at all, just being with an old friend, your mind, not telling it what it should be aware of, not telling it what it's supposed to be investigating, not telling it what it's supposed to be doing, just hanging out together, two good friends, you, your body and your mind, hanging out together as good friends, enjoying one another's company. That is the reason why we don't wander off. We don't go thinking about other things. We don't go into the past or the future. We just are here, happy, at peace, with a good friend. And you find it soon gets so peaceful and so still, just being with one another. Bit of kindness. But anyway, that will be explained even deeper when we do our meditation, which is going to begin now. I'll be leading this meditation for the first 15 or 20 minutes, just giving you a guide about mindfulness and kindness and how those two work together to create a very peaceful state of mind. So if you'd like to get yourself in your meditation posture, whichever that is, it's okay to sit on chairs, okay to sit against the wall, to lean back if you need to. People have their stools, one cushion, two cushions. People have their whatever they have learnt makes it very easy and comfortable to sit without too much aches and pains. So, you sit down and you close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, you bring your awareness, first of all, to your posture. How are you sitting now? Can you improve your posture, the way you're sitting, just by adjusting it? Once you think you have a decent posture, let's get a bit more careful and meticulous with it. Now see if you can be aware of how your legs are positioned. Can they be improved? Mine can. I mentioning last night, when you ask a question, there's one very effective way of focusing your mindfulness on one particular area. So I ask my legs, how are you? When I ask that question, I listen afterwards, and I can feel my legs need a little bit of adjustment here, a little bit of adjustment there. The question allows mindfulness to arise. And my kindness is willing to fidget, to adjust this way and that way, caring about my legs so that I do get them into the optimum position for meditation. And it's not always the same every time. It's not one posture you keep to all the time, because your body is always changing. And then once my legs are comfortable, I move up my body to my butt, making sure the bottom is well adjusted on the cushion. I like a little cushion under the back, of not too far forward, not too far back, the optimal position, because I know if I don't do this now, later on in the meditation it'll start to get irritable, aches and pains will start to arise. Once my butt feels comfortable, move up to my back, stretch it, twist it around until I can find the best position. Sometimes you look at animals like dogs or cats, and just to see just how they can find a comfortable position almost anywhere. What I'm doing now is being aware of the feelings in my back, mindful of them, aware of them, and being kind enough to move this way, move that way, to find the best position. This is called sort of feedback. Mindfulness allows you to get feedback, and the kindness will stop at the best position. I'm going to check my hands, make sure that they are well positioned, comfortable. With those hands, my arms as well. Slight adjustment could make the body pain free. Then I relax my shoulders. How do you relax your shoulders? Try this, try that. But all the time you are aware of your shoulders. And you find just what works for you. Soon, by awareness and kindness, you can feel the body muscles just let go, release, and they relax. You're learning. Mindfulness and kindness. And up to your throat, your neck. People have neck pains or irritations because they put their head in an uncomfortable position on top of their neck. You move it until you find the best position for your head. If there's an irritation in the throat, you may cough if you need to. But just be aware and notice just how the attitude of your mind, how you look at things, will affect the intensity or otherwise of the irritation. If you try and control, things get tense. If you relax, even an irritation, an itch in the throat gets less. To the head, relaxing the muscles in the face. That's something that's reasonably easy to do. Feel the tightness around my eyes, and with a little bit of practice you learn how to relax those muscles, to loosen them. You can feel them getting looser. Around the mouth or along the forehead, so nothing is tight. The awareness just goes to the body first, and the kindness acts to bring ease to your body. And you feel that, experience it for yourself. What makes the body tight, that will soon give pain. What makes it relaxed, which gives healing. And then I go to an inner part of my body. It's always something which is aching or unbalanced, tight. You go to anywhere in your body which is the most irritating part of your body. A part which you cannot lessen its disturbance just by moving. It needs something else. And this is what we do. We focus in on that, zoom in on that, with our awareness, with our mindfulness. Just focusing on the irritation as totally as possible. So once one has mindfulness awareness of an irritating part of your body, a pain, an ache, then you find that feeling, that sensation does change. It does alter. Why? What attitude of mind brings ease to that irritation? Or what makes it worse? The mindfulness gives you feedback. It allows you to learn. To learn how to relax. Even an internal part of your own body. Focus. Zoom in. Mindful. Look out for feedback. And learn what relaxes you. What you are investigating, what you're getting to know, is kindness. Open the door of your heart to that feeling and observing it getting less intense. And then lastly, I just look at my whole body. Just as relaxed to the max, as best I can. And quite often, just focusing on just how relaxed our body feels, it becomes quite pleasant. A body at peace is delightful. Because later on in the meditation practice, you'll find that delight of letting go. It's an important thing to be aware of. It takes you into some of the deepest of the meditations. But now we just use it as a place just to rest until we go on to our mind. And to understand about our mind. How peaceful are we? Or how irritated are we? What makes it irritated? Is it sound? Or is it our reaction to that sound? Is it expectations? Or this wonderful soft mind which allows things just to develop by themselves? This kindness, this compassion is what brings your own mind to peace. Be aware of the peaceometer. How peaceful we are, how agitated we are. Once we're aware of that peaceometer, we soon learn what makes us peaceful. We use feedback to gain insight. The kindness, letting go, allowing things to be. It's a way of peace. Fault finding, trying to get goals, you find that leads to more agitation and stress. You know that for yourself, you feel it. Watching my mind relax more and more. When it does get relaxed, pretty peaceful. Again, it's so pleasant. I don't need to escape to the future or the past. Who wants past or the future when the present moment is delightful? Just being here. this present moment, soon become aware of your breathing. It's natural. It's the only thing which is moving. So if you can be aware of your breath, as you breathe in, just breathe in naturally. You don't do the breath. The body knows how to breathe. It's been doing it all your life. You just do the watching, the observing, with kindness. As you breathe in peace. Breathe in anything positive, health, kindness, forgiveness. Breathe that in with every in-breath. I like just telling myself, breathe in peace. And breathe out, let go. Little mantra, words which I say, but not just say the words, focus on the meaning. Even paint a picture of peace. This is a metaphor. Feel it, imagine it, so peace comes in with every breath. And you let go with every out-breath. Always checking in with your peaceometer to find out what works for you. I'm now going to be quiet myself. Just leave you to being aware and being kind. All the way to the deepest of meditations. When I next start speaking, it'll be just before ringing the bell, the gong, to finish the meditation. getting close to the end of the meditation, just be aware of how you feel right now, body and mind. How peaceful are you? What does that peace taste of? The delight, the freedom, the peaceful mind. What does it do to your body? A relaxed body at ease. Oh, why? How does this work? I can tell you. It's really important you find out for yourself what awareness and letting things be, otherwise known as kindness, how it works. So now ring the gong 3 times. At the end of the 3rd ringing of the gong, it's a signal that you may come out from your meditation. So for the last 15 minutes we usually have the opportunity for some Q&A. So we do the ones from the internet first of all, and then open up to any questions from the floor, and people maybe get their mind working again. Today we have from North Wales, Poland and Germany. From the North Wales, can you share a few words that I can use to help me overcome my empathetic nature so I don't take on the woes of the world and those very close to me? I find it very tiring, example about the what's happening in the Middle East. If one gets caught up, entangled in other people's woes and problems, it's as if you become part of that. There's no help to yourself or no help to others. As they said in that seminar, which I often quote in Silicon Valley 2 years ago, to disconnect, to connect. Sometimes disconnect to your media so you can connect with oneself. Learn how to find that pyramid in the jungle in that story. In the opening the door of your heart, climb it up that top of that pyramid until you're out of the world. This was in the Yucatan Peninsula, Tikal. So you're standing up there in the cool, clear air, not in the jungle, which is hot and humid and oppressive. And you can stand up there and see infinity in all directions, nothing between you and infinity. And you look down in the jungle, where people are the law of the jungle. And up there, you're free. You also can get an understanding of how this world works. The world always does have some woes in it, some problems and troubles. That's why we learn. It's called suffering. This is not a heaven realm. It's the world of human beings. And it gives the opportunity to us all that when there is suffering, we can learn from it. The old truckload of dung. Instead of worrying about it, do something with it. Dig in that dung. If there's something to do, you give it everything you've got. Most of the time, there's nothing to do. So that's also the story of just middle of the jungle, as I said on Friday night, surrounded by the enemy. Just sit down, relax, and wait for an opportunity. So, empathetic nature, it's not really empathizing. It's not seeing the big picture. It's being focused, being manipulated, often by news, trying to grab your attention, trying to say, oh, this is really, really disaster. Many of us have been around a long time. People I know, family, been through wars, devastation. Remember even my grandmother, she was in the Blitz during the Second World War. Whenever there was a lightning strike, she'd stop whatever she was doing, and she would sit on the stairs. It was a way of dealing with her post-traumatic stress of coming so close to death night after night after night. But it didn't stop her being a very kind and wise, wonderful grandma. Woes of the world, put them in perspective. Of course there are two bad bricks in the wall. If all we see is the two bad bricks in the wall, then we get very depressed. Get the bigger picture, get up your pyramid, meditation, retreat, stand back, go into nature, and then you get the better perspective. Two bad bricks in the wall, but that's walls. From Poland, when I keep attention on my breath, I find this draws energy out of me. I feel weak and powerless after meditation, depressed. Exactly. Don't keep attention on the breath. Just let your attention go there if it needs to. It's a simile I gave about going to a appointment with a so-called friend in a coffee shop, and there your friend tells you exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it, for how long. Of course you get depressed and anxious and draws your energy away. Imagine you're with a friend who said, what do you want to do? What do you want to drink? How long do you want to stay here? That kindness there creates energy. Control takes energy away from you. So, from Poland, don't keep attention on your breath. Just ask your attention, where do you want to go? What do you want to be aware of? Breath, fantasies, body, peace. You choose, mind. And when I do that to my mind usually goes to something nice and peaceful. But I don't force it. I don't control it. I let it be. Kindness, not control. However, many people think they want to achieve something. They want to get somewhere. They say, well, if I just let my mind go, it will go all over the place. Fair enough. It's much better than controlling it, putting it on the breath, and getting weak, powerless, and depressed. Try another way. Try letting things be. Just being here and being kind. One of the most powerful forms of meditation. Just, you know, you experiment as a monk. And it was using those Emperor's Three Questions also in that book. It was from Tolstoy, it wasn't from a Buddhist book. Should have been. Who's the most important person, the one right in front of you? What's the only time now? What's the only thing to do? The most important thing to do is to care. And use that in ordinary life, but life, meditation, is just a reflection of one another. So when it's the meditation, what's the most important time? It's only now, from Poland. And then, what's the most important meditation object? The breath? Or is it metta? Or is it the body? From Poland, whatever is right in front of you right now, whatever it is, don't choose it. It's here, it's now. So, just be with it. It's the most important object in the whole world. And what do? Just care. Open the door of your heart with what we sometimes call unconditional mindfulness. Mindfulness with no strings attached. Mindfulness which will just be aware of this with this wonderful kindness. And you find that your mind gets so peaceful, so still very quickly. And it's only when you are not expending your energies trying to control your mind. Only then do you get the wonderful benefits of relaxation, peace, health, energy. And you don't feel powerless, depressed, irritated. You feel recharged. Lassie from Germany. What can I do to stop the sense of sight? As sometimes I have the problem when I close my eyes that I cannot stop looking at the darkness. If it really is the darkness you're looking at, it doesn't change, so soon it vanishes by itself. Things which don't move disappear. It's the nature of the world, it's the nature of the senses, it's just basic neurology of your way your brain works. So it is the fact that if you're looking at the inside of your eyes when you are meditating, then it means that just, you know, you're thinking about sight or you're doing something interfering with the process. You're not just letting it be, which is one of the reasons why it's disturbing. So one little very easy practical solution to that is just get out the eye shades. I always carry some around. I've got some here. I use them on the aircraft. So to meditate, so I can just, there's always people walking past. Have you got some? Yes. So you put on some eye shades. Oh, it's so peaceful, so wonderful. So I get some eye shades, and they really work. It's not just a joke. It is. Sometimes when people see these beautiful lights in the mind and limiters, which come later, you could read about those in some of the books which I've written. Sometimes, am I seeing this? You know, is it some light shining in my eyes? Is a reflection from the sun on a car windscreen or someone coming up to me with a flashlight? Put those eye shades on, and then it has to be just coming from inside. It can't be coming from outside. Other times when people start to get deep meditation, their eyes sometimes flicker. And they can't stop that, but they put the eye shades on, they don't need to flicker anymore. So the eye shades are a very useful addition to the meditation. So that's one good way, practical way, of actually dealing with the problem. You close my eyes, I cannot stop looking at the darkness. After you put the eye shades on, you're not looking at anything. It turns off after a while, and then you're free. Okay, any questions from people here? That means you have no questions, so as soon as we pay respects, you're all going to disappear without questions. Now, sometimes, we often ask this, you know, even on retreats, we have the opportunity for interviews on these meditation retreats. I'd always like to encourage people to put those questions on a piece of paper, and just so, or here, just to ask them, because your question, people think, oh, this is a silly question. It's never a silly question. Often, when people ask that question, see, everyone else is listening, because we share questions. We share the problems of meditation, which means that, you know, when you ask a question, it's not just for you, it's for other people as well. And I've seen that a lot. Apparently, it's also noticed that every now and again in the suttas, that somebody asks a question, they know what the answer is, but they ask that question for the benefit of all the other people listening here, who may not know the answer. So sometimes when you ask a question, it's for the sake of others. You already know the answer, but you want to share that question and the answer with others. So that's a wonderful thing to do. Okay, that didn't work either. So anyway, let's pay respects, put it up with Sangha, and there we can go.